Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan. Pull up a stool.
Hey, Doc. How you doing today?
Good. We're recording show 131 here. And what we're going to do is, this is a little quick show. We're going to do a food review for Bob and All In WDW of the Columbia Harbor House. How's that sound to you, Dan?
Oh, that sounds awesome. We're just going to do it for Bob, though? Just one person?
No, we're doing it for all of our fans.
Oh, okay.
But, you know,
all right.
But he's going to post it on his site. We promised him to do a food blog once a month or once whenever we can. We're going to try to do it monthly for him. We hope his ratings go up and not down.
Yeah,
I'm betting down. What do you think?
Yeah, he'll probably lose a few along the way, but that's the risk he runs when he's dealing with us too.
Absolutely. Absolutely, buddy. So you want to get into this?
Sure.
So you want to get us a little synopsis of the Columbia Harbor House?
Yeah, basically, well, we all know, or if you don't know, this is a quick service dining option in the Magic Kingdom. It's located in Liberty Square, which when I read that today, I was just doing some research. It kind of surprised me, but I guess technically it is Liberty Square, but I think that's one of those locations that you can almost be in Fantasyland and Liberty Square at the same time if you're at the Harbor House. In fact, I'd almost be willing to bet once you're inside of the Harbor House that some of the interior rooms, or a couple of the rooms, may even be in Fantasyland, if you can visualize that, Doug.
Yeah, it's right on the border there, but yeah, I mean, with the name, you know, it's in Liberty Square, Columbia, the time, it's the period that the facade and the building is, but I know what you're saying, it's right on the borderline of Fantasyland.
Right. I don't know if you ever did that when you were a kid or whatever, but if you're going through different states or whatever, you stand right on the line and say, I'm in two states at the same time or whatever, you could probably do that there, but totally agree with you that it's definitely themed to Liberty Square, and it's actually back around. It's adjacent to the new Momenti Mori Haunted Mansion gift shop, if you will, which used to be the I call it the American flag store or whatever. They used to have a lot of patriotic gifts and such there, but it's actually, you know, adjacent to that, and there's actually, I believe, a new archway that they built that goes into New Fantasyland, and over near the, on your left would be the new Tangled bathrooms as well. So just to give you a sense as to where it is, and a little further away, which you can definitely hear in the distance, is the good old Haunted Mansion. So just to get your bearings as to where this eatery is within the Magic Kingdom, and more specifically within Liberty Square.
Yes, it's directly across from Mr. Haunted Mansion.
Mansion.
My wife's favorite ride.
Right. Yeah, that's one of my top three as well in the kingdom, no doubt. Let me just get through this thing here. So primarily it's American cuisine, which we're going to get into the menu in depth, but that's what they call it, and I would agree with that characterization. It claims that dining options, whether you're there for lunch or dinner, it's $14.99 and under. So, like we said, it is quick service, and it is, at least for Disney World, a pretty good value. It also says some dining plans accepted, excuse me, easy for me to say. I didn't dwell into that a little more. I should have. I don't know what it means by that, but it was interesting to see that, because as we noted on our last month's Spice Road table review, that was the same language that they put on the site for Spice Road table, that they're now accepting some dining plans. So I don't know if go ahead, Doug.
I do know for a fact they accept the Disney dining plan for sure, because I've used it there multiple times.
Okay.
And I think what they're trying to say is things like Tables in Wonderland and Specialty, dining options. They accept some and don't accept others.
Okay.
But if you have the Disney dining plan, it 100% accepts that. Okay. So you're good with that.
Good to go then. Yes, and one of the descriptions they give on the Walt Disney World website is it's counter service Nook sandwiches with a nautical decor, which for any of those, any of you that have been there before know that it is filled with nautical knickknacks and paintings and all kinds of statues and such all throughout the restaurant. So it definitely does have a nautical flair to it.
Yeah, it has a feeling of up by your way. You know what I'm saying? Up in the New England states, it kind of has that kind of decor in it.
Yeah, I would say like old whaling, town or something like that. It is harpoons and, you know, fishing town, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, I would agree with that, Doug.
It kind of reminds me of a restaurant that would be in the Boston Harbor, if you asked me.
Yeah, I would say that's an accurate description. And it's kind of dark in there. I don't mean dark in that you can't see your food, but the wood, not paneling, but the wood on the wall is kind of a dark stain, as I recall. And, you know, the lighting is adequate, but it's subdued. And like I said, when you come out of the bright, bright Liberty Square, you kind of go in there, and it's obviously air-conditioned, which is nice. But it's, like I said, it's kind of on the dark side, and not that that's a negative. It's just how it is.
Yeah, it's all like woods. It's like woods from the era, and it has like your beadboard,
mm-hmm.
your wood beadboard, your raised panels. It's all your modern but old school, you know, trimming. It's really beautiful. It's done. There's a lot of really nice woodwork in the place. There really is.
There is, and we'll talk about some of the seating options as we go through the review. But it is interesting that, you know, there's several different rooms and areas you can go. And to the point we were just making about the decor, I mean, you know, if you looked around there, I guarantee you the stuff that you've never seen. I guarantee the stuff I've never seen. You know, like I seem to remember the statues of, like, you know, captains and maybe a fisherman in a raincoat steering the wheel, you know, all that kind of stuff that you would see.
You know, you got pressure gauges on the walls. You got mermaids, like it looks like a mermaid head, not the tail and all, mm-hmm. but on a statue. You have weather vanes. There's all kind. You could sit in there and look around and just, there's boat oars and rowing oars and, you know, there's all kind of nautical stuff in there.
Right.
You know, it's 100% nautical theme.
Yep. And they have a unique way. Well, maybe not unique, but I'll hopefully I'll pitch one down the middle to you here, Doug. Do they do anything special to call you in for dinner?
No, you could do that one, buddy. It's all you.
No, at certain times, especially around the peak dining times, they usually have a cast member out there with one of those. I call them a triangle. That's probably not the correct term, but kind of if you've ever been to the
come and get
yeah,
it. Come and get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And basically that's what the woman or man is saying and ringing that.
We used to call that the dinner bell.
Exactly. And it's kind of unique because it does, if you weren't planning on going there and you were just cutting through maybe to Fantasyland or heading over to the Haunted Mansion, you hear that and you're definitely going to look over there. And if you're hungry or it's around dinner time or lunchtime, you may take them up on their offer or, you know, divert over there and grab a quick bite. So that is unique. And they do a similar thing at, not to get off track here, but at the Hoop-Dee-Doo review as well. That's how they call you in when the show starts. They have a cast member come out and basically do a similar little spiel. But that's something that's unique, and I had forgotten all about that. I didn't read it anywhere, but when I was just thinking about Columbia Harbor House and all the times I've been there, I remember hearing that multiple times when I've been there. Like I said, they don't do it all the time continuously, but, you know, depending on what time of day it is, you're able to hear that when you're going by.
Oh, absolutely. I love the cast members when they're standing outside. They'll joke with you, kid with you sometimes,
right.
And they're in their, you know, and they're in their time period. You know, I love the way they dress in Liberty Square.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, like you said, period dress and decor, and you know, it just puts you in that time frame. And what do they call them things, the stockades they have that's
yes.
kind of not right out front, but over to the left is in the little square there. So, again, it all ties together and kind of fits into that that period of time.
I kind of don't like to do that. It's bad mojo to me. I don't want to put my head in the stockade. It kind of makes me think if I do that, it's going to lead me to trouble somewhere.
Yeah.
So I try to keep my.
Yeah.
It's just bad mojo for me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm not that superstitious, but we have pictures with the kids in there from years ago, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, they used to actually open like a real stockade, and they've since changed them so that they're fixed now. They're just holes cut out in the wood. You can stick your head through and your hands through, but it's not as authentic as it used to be. And my guess is somebody probably dropped the thing on somebody's hand or something, and they got hurt, and the lawyers put an end to that. But there is a stockade there, but like I said, it's not as neat as the one that I remember from 15 years ago or so.
We have my godson and my brother-in-law's picture from in there, but they're both hoodlums, so
they deserve to be in there.
It can't lead to anything. Me, I don't want the bad mojo.
Well, you can't be too careful. I guess I can understand that point of view.
No, absolutely, but yeah, to continue with the decor, though, Dan, I really like the what do you prefer, the upstairs or the downstairs?
I usually go upstairs, and I like everyone else, when I first started going there, just kind of wandered in there, and it was probably lunchtime packed. And we used to do, when we had the kids, we used to do the thing where I'd get in line and get the food, and my wife would take the kids and find a table. So we just, we just ended up eating on the first floor all the time because it was just easier to keep eye contact to see where they went. But over the years, and as the kids got older and we took some solo trips and, just the wife and I went down or whatever, we've heard about this great experience up on the second floor where, first of all, like I said, most people are first timers or folks that have been there, one or two times, may not even realize there's a whole second floor to the restaurant, and there's all kinds of seating up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only reason I found it was the very first time we ate there, it was crowded. Mm-hmm. And out of the corner of my eye, I seen this lady sneaking up the steps with a tray. And I'm like, where is she going? And my wife, when I came out, my wife goes, what are you doing? I said, follow me, hon. And we went upstairs, and there was like maybe three other couples up there.
Right.
The whole downstairs was packed. We almost had the whole upstairs to ourselves. We went over by a window, had a beautiful view of the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And the food is there. It's always excellent. But the upstairs is beautiful. Yeah, the one area has all the beams and all up there, the beams in the ceiling.
Right, right.
And then the other area is kind of like it has paneling, but it's like a mustard paneling.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Despite of what we said at the opening of the review, how, it's kind of dark in there, I agree with you. Upstairs is probably totally, not totally opposite, but you're right. The woodwork is a mustard. It's a lot lighter, and I think because of the there's more windows, or at least it seems to me that there's more windows, it lets more natural light in, and it's a lot lighter up there.
Yeah, there is, because the downstairs, if you has the porch over the front facade and all, and I think most of the light only comes in through the front door, most of
right.
it. The top's all shadowed, but also upstairs, even though you have the wood beams and you have the raised panel, you have like these panels that are raised panels that are built on the wall, but all the inset, you could still see the main wall, which is painted white.
Right, right.
So there's some brighter colors upstairs, but still all the woods are on the mid, the dark tones
right.
in the place.
Right, but it does give you a different experience. And to carry on the point you were making, I mean, if you didn't know or you didn't see somebody or a cast member didn't, sometimes when it's real busy, they'll have a cast member at the bottom of the stairs saying, there's plenty of seating upstairs or what have you, but if short of that, I mean, unless like you experienced, unless you happen to see somebody going up there or you just know the secret, if you will, you might never know that. But now that we know it's there, we tend to gravitate upstairs all the time. In fact, we almost exclusively go upstairs just because it's, in my view, it always seems to be less crowded. I don't know what your experience has been now that this secret is out there. Tons of people know about it, but what's your experience as far as you know, people at tables the same or less or more than downstairs?
Well, I was telling you earlier before they do this, we're going to say, shh, be quiet. Don't tell everybody about the upstairs seating.
No.
We'll keep this as our little secret, everybody, okay?
Right, right.
I want a promise from everybody. They're not going to tell nobody about the upstairs if you hear it here. So I think maybe three other people will know about the upstairs than us then.
Right, me, you, and Bob.
Yeah, but no, I have never eaten downstairs every single time we've gone there. Like I said, the very first time I seen that girl sneaking up the steps.
Right.
Because the downstairs are crowded, and we love the upstairs, the atmosphere so much that every time we've ever eaten there, it's been upstairs. And I don't, and it's like you said, it's lighter, it's brighter. It's just, I think it's more, I enjoy the upstairs more. I have enough of the downstairs with the line. That's my only complaint about the place is, no matter, it always seems like that line is crowded, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say, Doug. I think that's what adds to the hustle and bustle of the downstairs. You have they have the traditional lines like all of Disney's quick service, where they have one cast member and she's taking care of essentially two lines, one on either side. And, you know, again, I'm going a little rant here. In my view, if everybody was paying by credit card or gift card or even cash for that matter, things would go a little smoother. But when you have the dining plan and inevitably you get the people that don't know how many credits they got and the dog ate my receipt and I don't, you know, it just seems to bog down there. But I think the fact, and I may be mistaken, but I also believe they let people bring strollers inside there and they kind of stack them up inside the door. So between the strollers, people getting in line, not knowing what they want, and again, this is a pet peeve of mine, they do a great job at numbering the food items, like, you know, the lobster roll might be a number 7 and this might be a number 2 or whatever, but again, most people don't pay any attention to that, and they go under these long descriptions as to what they want, you know. And
I have seen more people at this restaurant, which is my probably favorite
quick service,
top three favorite counter services.
Yep.
You know, we've talked before, Wolfgang's and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but this is by far top three every time, and it probably is my favorite counter service. My one pet peeve is with it, you have to 100% pay attention to what you ordered, because I have seen so many people walk away with somebody else's order at this restaurant. Or think it's theirs, pick the tray up, and the cast member snatches it back from them.
Right. I mean, again, the way you know the way it works with the, you know, the receipt, and they're supposed to rip it after they, you know, verify that the right things are on the right plate. But, I mean, I don't know if that's something unique to that restaurant, or it's just – I think you told a similar story to Flame Tree Barbecue that happened
yeah.
to you as well, that they just kind of – toss the food out to people doing the prep in the back without any regard to whose it actually is.
Yeah, you have to pay attention. At most of the counter services,
right.
you have to pay attention.
Right. Well, again, and I'm not stereotyping here, and I believe I made this point when we talked about that at Flame Tree. You know, most of the cast members that are college program kids, you know, very few people sign up for quick service because they want to do that as their college program. You know, everybody wants to be on the Jungle Cruise or wants to be, you know, have a position, you know, on an attraction or something. And inevitably, the thing they need the most of down there is quick service cast members. So, you know, and again, most of them are very nice. I'm not, please don't take this the wrong way, but a lot of those people are, how can I say it, not necessarily in the best of moods because they have the job that they have to begin with. So maybe they just aren't as diligent or caring as they should be as far as getting the proper food to the correct guest.
Yeah, you got to do your job. What? Okay, you're going to my. I agree with you, but mine's the other way. Like, I see them working hard all the time, and I know you're not saying they're not, and I see all that. But what my problem is most people. I don't blame the cast members as much as I blame the people just snatch and grab.
Oh.
Because they're next, they assume that that's theirs.
Right. Right.
And it isn't all the time. And the person will call it out, and the person won't be paying attention. The customer won't.
Right.
And just will start snatching trays thinking it's hers because, like the last time we ate there, I was waiting for my lobster roll, and it was late. Three people that were behind me got served before me because my stuff wasn't ready yet.
Right.
And but what happens is most of these people think that it's automatically in order.
Because
so they're not paying attention. Right. Their kids are crying, and they just grab their food and try to walk away with it. Not even they're grabbing cheese. They're grabbing shrimp when they shrimp platters when they ordered a hummus sandwich or
right.
a lighthouse sandwich.
Right. But that's a good point, Doug, because some of the food items, to your point, are pre-made or easily made or more quickly made, I should say. If you ask for, you know, a hamburger well done or something, just because you ordered before me and I was behind you and I might have got the, you know, the anchors away or whatever, mine might be already, you know, 5 minutes before yours. So mine's up. But if you're, you know, if you just grab, you're going to end up with my sandwich or my tray, I should say.
Exactly. Like, that would happen, the cheeseburger, that happens a lot over at Pecos Bill.
Right, right.
Same thing. So I don't blame the cast members as much as I blame the ignorant and unpolite people that are – they're so – you went to a counter service. You're not being waited on.
Right.
So you need to take some of the responsibility and pay attention to what you're getting. Because I did – what my problem was, too, is it wasn't at the – Tusker House. It was at Riverside.
Oh yeah, right.
And we ordered from the counter, and we took the wrong omelet home.
That's right.
And that was, and even though it was the cast member's fault, I blame me too because I should have been more diligent, paying attention.
Right. No, I.
And that was my fault. I blamed the cast member too. But the more I thought about it afterwards, it was my fault too because I have to pay attention to what I ordered and wait in line and not assume that next one was mine.
Right.
Because that's what I did.
Right. And like I said, the system they have, and it's not foolproof, but you're supposed to step up to the counter and then you hand them your receipt and they're supposed to verify, okay, you know, I got a lobster roll, I got this, I got that. And then they'll tear the receipt after they verify it, give it to you, and then you leave. But we all know when the bullets are flying and those lines are cranking, that always doesn't happen. And people, to your point, get impatient and they just want to get to their seat and they're not paying. Or, you know, they're on the cell phone or they're texting or they're doing everything.
Pulling at their pant leg. And
they're doing everything but paying attention to what they should be, which is getting the correct food order.
Yeah, because last time the young cast member there, he was like, I literally seen him pull five trays back from. No, this ain't yours. And like you said, after he's looking at the receipt, because they're picking it up to carry it away as they're handing him the receipt.
Right, right.
No, this ain't yours. This ain't yours. And I'm sitting there like, come on.
You're right.
Look at the tray. Just count the five.
Right.
Look down at the tray. That is not a lobster roll. It's
a hot dog.
It's grilled shrimp. It's breaded shrimp. They're not the same. So
right.
It's not yours if that's what you order.
Yeah, that's funny.
So that's the problem with there. That's the problem with a lot of the quick service. Everybody's so impatient.
No, I agree. And like we said, they kind of funnel everybody into those lines real tight. And you got people trying to get out of there with their trays of food and their drinks and people trying to get in there. And it's very stressful, or at least I find that it is, when you're trying to get in and out of there. And maybe you're trying to keep an eye on where your wife might have went or where her seat is. And you know, that I agree, but it's the nature of the beast, and I guess you made the point earlier that, you know, that's why you pay maybe $25-$30 for an entree at a sit-down meal, but you're not just paying for the food, but you're also paying for that service and the ability to kind of relax and not have to go through the stress of a quick serve.
Oh, yeah, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, on the most crowded days, Pecos Bills and Harbor House and even Sunshine Seasons, all these places, if it's crowded, it could be a workout just trying to sit down and find a table to get your food. It's high-pressure situations sometimes.
Right, and there's nothing worse than having, and I'm sure this has happened to you, it's happened to us many times, nothing worse than having, you know, a whole tray of food and drinks and there's no tables in sight and you're literally just standing there and, you know, I think it
you feel like a misfit, though.
Yeah, right, right. I have nowhere to go. Nobody likes me. But inevitably something opens right up, and it usually works out.
And you look over and see somebody sitting there for 15 minutes after they eat, like right. Stretching out, unbuttoning their pants and chilling.
Or there's somebody sitting there holding a table, which, again,
yeah.
I know at Pecos Bills they've kind of – what do? They basically throw you out. You can't do that. You're not supposed to save tables unless you have food, you know, literally have food in your hand. But I guess that's...
I mean, they're pretty relaxed on it if it's not the most crowded time of the year. If there's plenty of tables and all, they won't do it to
right.
you. But when it's a crowded time, you know, show some respect and, you know, wait.
Yeah, well, you feel
yeah.
bad for the mother that might have a couple of young kids
yeah.
or whatever, and she's struggling, and she's got a diaper bag and a, you know, a stroller and
yeah.
this, that, and the
if,
other thing, and, you know, yeah, give
and
up
if you're
the
done,
table.
If you're done, wipe your lip, get up, throw your trash out, and move on.
Exactly. You don't have
it's
to...
It's counter service. It's not a take the load off for 3 hours.
You don't have to leave, but you can't stay here.
Exactly. So you want to get into some of the food here, Dan?
Sure. I don't. Do you want to go first, or we want to do dinner, lunch, combined? How do you want to attack this, Bucky?
I will read both at the same time because they pretty much the same as both. They pretty much carry the same fare for lunch and dinner here. So
I totally agree.
So,
all right.
But I'll start off with the salads and see what you've had, and you can give me a rating on any of them. Have you had any of these salads?
I have a, I don't, I, my menu, oh, okay, the Garden Harvest salad. I have not had the salad there that I remember. Maybe I've had it and I just don't remember, but.
They have two salads here. They have the broccoli peppercorn salad
yep.
and the Garden Harvest salad. The broccoli peppercorn salad is mixed greens, garden vegetables, chicken, broccoli, sunflower seeds, Parmesan cheese tossed with a creamy peppercorn dressing. And it's very good.
It sounds good.
It's a very good, and it's different. It's not your same old salad.
Right,
you,
right.
It's something that is unique to here, if you follow me.
Now, do you get this as an entree or as an appetizer? Or do you
no,
split
just
it?
just an entree, just to eat.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm just in the mood for something. You know, that's the thing I like about this, and you'll notice this through a lot of this menu. There's times where I don't want a heavy burger. I like healthy food sometimes, and this is why I choose the Columbia Harbor House. And it's light food. It fills you up,
yeah.
but it don't slow you down.
Right. I mean, there are some things on the menu that can do that, but there's also some options that are lighter fare. Totally agree.
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
And me and the wife usually lean toward Jim. That's why we like this restaurant so much.
Right.
The Garden Harvest salad is mixed greens, garden vegetable, green beans, carrots, and chicken tossed with a Zinfandel vinaigrette dressing, which is very good.
Nice. And it looks like both of them are, at least on my menu here, they show $8.59.
Yeah, which isn't bad. For the amount of salad that you get, I mean, I go to my local Salad Works and pay that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, the chicken that you get in the peppercorn salad, is it like chicken breast sliced, or do you remember how it's actually presented?
Yeah, it's sliced. It's like a grilled chicken.
Oh, okay. So it's nice white meat. They're not trying to get
yeah.
rid of some of the scraps from something else.
No, they're not. Don't be so negative, Dennis.
I'm not. I'm just, you know, sometimes they'll throw some dark meat in there. I only say that because I can't stand dark meat. I hate, even with turkey, chicken, anything like that, if I see any dark meat, that just turns me right off to the whole thing. So I was hoping you were going to say it's nice white, you know,
it
chicken
is.
Breast.
Yeah, because it's a healthy one. Dark meat's usually not as good for you, so it's a healthy salad. So
yeah, it has more oil.
Then they had the vegetarian chili and the New England clam chowder. Now, have you had their clam chowder, Dennis?
I have, and it is proper in that it's a white cream sauce as opposed to the New York style, which is more of a brothic, a tomato brothy type
red sauce,
which I don't think is traditional clam chowder, but I've had the New York version. It's good, but I just, you know, it's just
I like the New England better. The only thing, sometimes you can get the New York if it has a little bit of a kick to it. You ever have it when it's a little
yeah,
spicy?
Yeah, yep.
I like it. That's when it's good. But when it tastes like tomatoes,
right.
if it's tomatoey, I don't want it.
Right.
I don't want clams in my tomato.
Right. But again,
it's just the way I am.
Yeah,
I'd prefer the white sauce.
Right. And to get back to your healthy kick, I'm quite sure that the New York version would be healthier because it's a broth
Absolutely.
And not cream and whatever mm-hmm. else is in that white sauce. I'm sure it's high in fat. So I'm sure I like it better. But again, if you were going to get a soup and salad or a chowder and salad or something, maybe split it. If you went with, well, they don't offer the New York style here.
No,
I don't know why we're talking about it. But
because the restaurant's supposed to be spaced in the New England states,
right.
not New York.
Okay. So, yeah, but to answer your question, it is very, very good. It represents the the area up here very well.
Yeah, because Dennis is a seafood snob.
Yeah, I know
very
you're going to do that.
So.
It doesn't equal the clam box, but that's you'll have to listen to one of our earlier shows to get that reference if there's any listeners that don't know what the clam box is.
Yeah, well, one of these days we'll meet halfway, Dan, and you can bring me some of that.
I will.
I'll meet you with that, and I'll bring you a Philly cheesesteak. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
We'll meet in the middle.
Yeah. We'll have to come up with some ovens or some way to keep this stuff warm, but we'll figure it out.
But absolutely. I mean, it is very good. I prefer the white over, but if you can get a nice, spicy New York clam chowder, I enjoy that too. I just don't want it like a tomato paste.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Right. Now, the combination meals.
All right.
Have you ever had the chicken pot pie?
Just trying to find it on my menu here. Pot pie, I haven't, but my wife did, and I know I had a bite of it, and it was quite good, as I remember.
The breading and all, everything's so fresh. It's like a fresh homemade pot pie. That's what's good. It's not your Stouffer's out of the box.
Right. Is it like a single serve, like comes in a how is it presented? If you explain it, I'll definitely know whether I had it or not.
What was that? It's a single serve. Yeah, it's a single serve.
Okay, I think I know. It comes like in a ramekin or a what do they call them? Well, whatever.
It's like in the crust, the pie crust.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But they are very. It's fresh. It isn't like you think they just unfroze it. It's very fresh. That's what everything is here. Everything is like, in my opinion, this restaurant. Everything is prepared like if it was a sit down restaurant. In my opinion, a sit down service restaurant.
Right.
Everything is so fresh, and like it was just made that day. There's nothing that seems like it's second rate here.
Right. Now, it says it comes with steamed fresh broccoli. Is that a side?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So the chicken pot pie is just chicken and broth and the gravy or whatever you want to call it. And then
it has the pie crust and the carrots and everything like it's normal
okay,
chicken
so
pot
it does
pie.
Have vegetable. That's what I was getting
yes.
at. It's some do and some don't, but I thought maybe.
Yeah, this one's like a pure chicken pot pie. Yeah, it has the vegetables, everything, the little baby peas,
right.
The whole nine yards in it.
Awesome.
Now, have you ever had the seafood macaroni and cheese?
Well, I have not, but I this was on our hit list, both mine and yours, and you let us down last time you were at the Magic Kingdom because you actually looked for it, you said, and they weren't.
It wasn't there for some reason. I didn't see it there unless I was insanely nuts because that's why I went in here
right.
purposely to get the seafood macaroni and cheese.
Right, because when we did your treat. Pre-trip report, I remember you had kind of targeted that for something you wanted to try. But I think what it was is you went over there for lunch, and I think we came to realize that at that time they had taken it off the menu, at least for lunch, but they were still serving it for dinner, I believe, is how it worked out. But I believe since then it's back on the lunch menu as well, because our friend Bob was wanting to try that as well, and I think he said he saw it or heard that it was back on the menu. So I can't speak to that specifically, but that sounds awesome, and I can't imagine it not being good.
Well, it's going to be on the hit list for spring or fall next time I'm down.
Me too. I'm going to try to pick that one off my list this spring.
Yeah, maybe you can get that with some bangers and mash too.
That with bangers and mash with a side of crabless crab cakes.
I'm not as mad about the crabless carrot cake, to be honest with you. Bangers and mash.
Bob's really got a burr under his saddle over that. Though.
Yeah, because you made him eat it, but he did enjoy it. You're lucky he liked it. Could you imagine if he didn't like it?
It made his top 25 list. See, I made him get out of his comfort zone.
Yeah, well, I did. You did. You did nothing of the sort on this whole case.
All right. You're picking up the slack on this one.
Yes.
What else?
The fried shrimp platter, I've never ordered it myself, but my father got it because any restaurant you go to, if they have fried, deep fried breaded shrimp, that's my dad's hit list. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's fresh. The batter's good. Have you had the fried shrimp there?
I have, and to me, I mean, shrimp, just generally speaking, don't really taste like anything. So to me, it's all the batter and how that tastes, whether it's salty.
I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
How can you say it doesn't have a taste to it after you've bragged about how good the garlic shrimp was at a Spice Road table?
Well, you didn't let me finish. Yes,
okay.
If you add
okay.
spice to anything, it's going to taste like it. I mean, garlic, the garlic shrimp is awesome because of the flavorings and seasonings you put on. What I meant to say was, if you just peel a shrimp, like if you go to a buffet and you have the, you know, they put the shrimp out on the ice there. If you don't dip it in the red sauce, what is that stuff they call?
It's called. Go ahead.
You know what I mean, though. The red sauce. I mean, shrimp itself, if it's fresh, it really.
You mean cocktail sauce,
yes,
Dennis?
Exactly.
I just wanted to leave you hang for a moment.
You love doing that.
I gave you just enough rope.
Enough rope to hang myself. Right?
Yes. Your feet touch the ground, but I scared you.
No, but I guess in all seriousness, what I'm saying is the shrimp itself has very little flavor to it. I mean, they may be a little sweet if they're you know, but for the most part, they don't really have a flavor. So the point I was going to make as it relates to the shrimp plate that you had mentioned, I have had it before. But again, going back to my seafood snob, I'll put that hat back on. I mean, the batter up here, where we have the fried clams and at the clam box and other places up here, that's what makes the difference, in my view, for fried clams, fried shrimp, you know, any of those, a fisherman's platter, even cod or scrod or whatever type of white fish you're having. If the batter isn't good, to me, I don't care how good the shrimp is, how tender it is, it's just not going to cut it. So what I would say to answer your question is, it's edible, I guess, from a, you know, it's shrimp, it's breaded, but, in my view, compared to what I can get up here, it really isn't up to par. Not that it's not good, it's just I wouldn't order it again down there, based on what I'm used to eating.
My dad really enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but my opinion is, and this is just me, and this is me as being, I'm putting my grilled snob hat on. I don't think any fish should be breaded. You might as well just go eat a cheesesteak or something bad for you. I mean, if you're going to bread, fish is supposed to be healthy for you.
Right.
And if you're going to go throw breading on it, you might as well just get an old shoe out of the closet, throw the breading on it.
Yep.
That great breading, get your cocktail sauce, your horseradish sauce, and dip it into it, and you won't know the difference of what it is.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you could cut up elastic bands and deep fry them and say, well, that's calamari or whatever. And I tend to agree with you, Doug. What's the point at that point? You're just eating greasy breaded, you know, well, maybe not greasy, but I know what you're saying. A grilled version of that where you could add some garlic and some flavorings and some spices is healthier for you and more flavorful, I'm sure.
Yeah, like with that, I tried it just because we do a podcast, and back then it was before we did a show, but I tried it with my father when he was still here just to try it because I like to try everything.
For research.
Yeah, but it's very good, or just to know, because I like to try things. Right. But to me, I don't like anything breaded or fried, or it's not good for you. But it comes with this is the kicker. You can order a fried shrimp platter, and then you can get the steamed fresh broccoli or the apple slices.
Right.
Or the french fries. Now, who in their right mind is going to order the fried shrimp and not get the french fries?
Right.
I mean, you're all in at that point.
At that point, you might as well just go for it, exactly.
Have a milkshake and chase it down with a side of a...
Right.
Poppers or breaded poppers, fried poppers, I don't know.
I mean, we haven't talked about this dish yet, but I guess we could kind of pull it in here because it's similar. I mean, it's just like with the chicken breast nuggets. I mean, it's really almost the same thing. I mean, I'm sure they probably use the same batter. I'm not.
If you dipped, and I can tell you this because I've tried them, if you dip this chicken breast nuggets or the fish nuggets into cocktail sauce, you couldn't tell the difference.
Exactly. So that
the same thing with the battered fish platter.
Right.
They're all good. They all taste good. The cod that's in the battered fish platter is as fresh as could be.
Yep.
It's very good. Everything is. If you like fried foods, go here. It's an awesome alternative to if you're not in the mood for burgers or whatever. So don't take me and Dennis's.
Oh, right.
Saying this is bad. All their breaded fried foods are really, really good. They're really, really fresh. They'll be awesome to you. But to me, if you're going to eat fried fish, you might as well just go eat the burger.
Right. I agree with you. And again, they're trying to appeal to the masses. And
absolutely.
I get into it for up here. But up here, they do kind of, you know, like people have their secret sauce or they have their secret rib rub or whatever, where they won't tell people what it is. It's kind of like that up here with the different seasonings that they put in the breading that they, you know, fry the clams in or the shrimp or whatever. And believe it or not, you can tell a difference. I mean, it's subtle.
Oh, Dan, I've had really good fried foods. I mean, we've gone down to Ocean City, Maryland, and Chesapeake, and I've had fried clams, and
right.
I've had all that stuff. But myself, when it's all said and done, I tried it all once just to try it and know it. When I go back to the menu, I'd rather have a soft shell crab sandwich.
Right, right.
Something healthy like that, a grilled shrimp, broiled scallops. Like, it's all fresh. There's no, I mean, that's the seafood. You're getting the nutrients from it that way.
Right.
The other way, you're getting nothing out of it.
Right. I mean, it's put in, you know, 150-degree oil or whatever it is.
And yes.
It's just blasted and flash fried, if you will. And but anyways, not that we're going on a rant on what's healthy and what's not. I mean, you know, you're on vacation, and a lot of people save up their sinful dinners, if you will, to eat at Disney World. So if you've been waiting all year for the fried shrimp platter and that's what you want, by all means, go for it. It's delicious. And, you know, again, to further Doug's point, we're not trying to say that don't order this stuff. We're just saying there might be some other more healthy options or better things or more tasteful things on the menu.
You're right, and this is the reason. The next four options are the reason why me and my wife go to the Columbia Harbor House. The grilled salmon is incredible.
Yep.
For a counter service, it's awesome. It's like Sunshine Seasons over at Epcot.
Right.
It's everything is fresh. It's like you just cut the waitress out, the middleman, and got it yourself. Is basically that's how good it is
right.
to make.
And it's served with couscous and steamed fresh broccoli.
It's a healthy meal,
right.
And the couscous my wife loves.
Right. Yeah, I don't mind. Go ahead.
And then I'm sorry. Then you have the Lighthouse sandwich, the Anchors Away sandwich, and the lobster roll. Those three sandwiches are incredible.
Right. I think, and we've talked about this, you know, on previous shows. I generally, usually always get the Anchors Away sandwich. I love the white tuna and the way they present it on the multigrain bread. It's just a go-to for me, and it took some prodding from you to get off of that, and I actually did have the, what is it?
The Lighthouse?
No, I had the
lobster
roll last time I was there, and it was very good, and you're right. I mean, that thing is stuffed full of, stuffing, if you will, and you know the crab meat, yeah, the lobster meat, for the most part was claws, but I mean it was plentiful, and you could definitely tell there was lobster meat in there, but you know it had a nice balance of that and vegetables cut up, and they were sliced. In my view, they were sliced perfectly, and that they weren't too long or stringy.
They were chewable.
Yes,
you weren't.
Exactly.
They weren't sitting there stuck in your like you know what
yes.
I'm saying. Where you're sitting there crunching them and trying to chew it. They were
right.
cut so you could eat it comfortably.
Right.
If that makes sense, it was perfectly portioned.
Yeah. The only comment I would have on that, I think I got a bag of chips, or it might have came with fries. I forget what it came with, but what does it say here?
No, it's their homemade chips.
Yes, that's right. That's what they were.
And they're too hard for me.
Yeah, depending on if they overcooked them or cooked them more than you'd like, they can be a little on the hard side. And they tend to be thicker, too, than a normal potato chip, so they can get a little chewy. But the only comment I had, at least the one I had, and I'm assuming this is just the way they serve it, the bread was plain and that it almost looked like a hot dog roll or a big hot dog roll to me. I thought it would have been better if it was toasted or something like that. But, again, that's just me. Not that it was bad, but I just remember when I got it.
See, now I love white bread, so
right.
I was happy with it.
Right.
But what I do compliment about it is – it's a salad that it isn't overloaded with – they didn't make it to where it's bad for you with a bunch of mayo and an extra bunch of stuff. They let all the ingredients speak for themselves on the sandwich. Now, didn't you get that from it, too?
I would agree. I mean, it definitely, to me, seemed like there was mayo on it, but it wasn't totally saturated in it where it was masking the flavor of the vegetables and the – the lobster meat. So I would agree that agree with you on that. And like I said, the one I got, and I'm pretty sure I took a picture and tweeted it out from our account. I mean, it was just totally stuffed. Like you could take a fork or a spoon or something and probably eat 4 or 5 bites of just the lobster meat without even touching the bun. There was that much in there.
Me and my wife always joke, if you brought in an extra roll in your bag, you could have 2 sandwiches.
Absolutely. That's not a joke. That is absolutely true.
No, because my wife does the same thing with the lighthouse sandwich. She'll eat a lot of the hummus out of it before, you know what I mean, because some of it's coming out of it.
Yeah, if you had a little Tupperware bowl or something, you could get some crackers later and have some hummus and crackers.
Absolutely.
For a little snack later on.
But the same thing with the Anchors Away, the tuna sandwich that she's had. I had that, and I the same thing. They don't overload it with mayo. They don't make it unhealthy for
right.
you. They're,
right.
They're really health conscious with these 4 meals.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and I've never had anything in there that I said, oh, that was not good. I mean, I haven't, you know, tried, you know, other than 3 or 4 main things that I usually get or that I like and I keep going back for, I haven't tried everything, but everything I've had has been delicious, fresh. I mean, nothing I had, like the tuna, big thing with tuna fish with me is obviously it needs to be cold. I don't want it room temperature or whatever, and every time I've gotten one, you know, you could tell that it was, you know, refrigerated properly or however they store it, because it was, you know, really cold, and that's a big thing for me, and it always is cold, or it has been cold when I've gotten the Anchors Away.
Well, me, period, with anything seafood, it has to be fresh.
Right.
I mean, I'm like you with that, but I'm a cook, and me and my wife cook all the time, and we're foodies. I consider myself a foodie. Mm-hmm. And I've cooked enough to earn that. I've ate enough of it.
Right.
I've probably eaten at 75% of the restaurants in Disney World, so I've earned that.
Right.
And the thing of it is if it's not fresh with seafood, if I bite into a piece of shrimp and it mushes, you got hell to pay.
Right.
You know what I'm
it
saying? Anything
snap
like that.
With freshness, basically.
Exactly. You, I can bite into something and know it's good. And I've never gone in here and had anything. I haven't had a stale piece of bread. Haven't had anything that wasn't cooked. I haven't had fries that were cold.
Right.
Everything has always been up to snuff here.
Well, and again, I think this goes in line with what we've said about, you know, when we were talking about the Riverside Mill over there at Riverside.
Yes.
You know, I think that there's so much turnover here that the volume of food that they're cranking out of there, and it tends to always be busy. I mean, maybe some of the shoulder times, you know, right, you know, before lunch or mid-afternoon might slow down a little bit, but I almost think there wouldn't be a chance that anything wouldn't be fresh, only because the food is moving in and out of there. They're probably, you know, got a big storage area in the back, and everything comes over from the bakery in the morning, the rolls, and, you know, I'm sure they make up big vats of the tuna fish and the, you know, some of the cold entrees or sandwiches. So, again, they're, you know, I don't think there's any time for anything to get old or you know, not the peak of freshness because it doesn't hang around there long enough.
Absolutely. I would give this restaurant 9.5 out of 10 myself for a counter service.
Yeah, I mean, it's I would too. I mean, I definitely would. And, you know, even if I was over in Tomorrowland, and I've done this many a time, rather than go to the Sunny Eclipse place there, I can't
remember. Starlight Cafe.
Right. I'd walk back over to Liberty Square just to go to Columbia Harbor House. That's how good it is. You know, if we're going to eat counter service and we're in the Magic Kingdom, you know, unless I can get into the plaza on Main Street, which is difficult to do, especially just doing a walk-up, more likely than not, I'm heading to Columbia Harbor House, even if it's a bit of a hike.
I'll be honest with you. I honestly would have to say is, and I hate that expression, but I'll say it anyway.
You've been lying to me all this time, Doug.
Yep. Yep. But the Columbia Harbor House is probably my favorite restaurant in the Magic Kingdom.
Sit down or quick service.
Period. It's probably my favorite place. It's my must go to every time we're down there. We usually eat here at least once.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. And as we described the menu options, there's plenty, there's a lot of variation in what you can get. I mean, I didn't see here, and I don't remember mentioning it. Do they offer a traditional hamburger and stuff like that?
No, there's no hamburgers or anything. You got to go to Pecos.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
Okay.
This is all healthy food for the most part. It's mostly fish.
Right.
Fish and chicken is all 90% of the menu. Now, for kids, you can get them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, we didn't get to the desserts either, but go ahead, Doug.
I'm going to go there. For the kids, you got a tuna sandwich, and which you could also get them a yogurt or choice of small low-fat milk or bottled water, for $5.99. Then you have peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can get them yogurt, grapes, and then the milk or bottled water for $5.49. You got a garden salad with chicken, which I don't see too many kids eating that, for $5.99. Same thing with the yogurt, the grapes, the low-fat milk or water. Chicken nuggets, of course, and chicken nuggets and fish.
Right.
So, and then you also have macaroni and cheese for the kids. This one cracks me up. We're going to give the kid macaroni and cheese, and then we're going to give them grapes and down. And you, like I said, if you're going to order macaroni and cheese, just give your kid an order of fries.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm not being smart, but you know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't ever remember eating macaroni and cheese and then grapes. Have you in your life?
No, not that combination anyways.
No. So, but then the desserts. You got strawberry yogurt, chocolate cake, and seasonal cobbler. Now, I will say that me and my wife, with the free dining the 1 year here many years ago, we got the chocolate cake. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, it's because of me and my lovely wife, the chocolate cake that we get there with our meal with the dining plan is the best chocolate cake on property, if you ask me.
Right.
For some reason, at the Columbia Harbor House, my chocolate cake always tastes the best.
Right. Well, it's probably more the memory than it is the cake, but, whatever that is. And I got that last time I was there. And it's kind of what you would find, at least my recollection. It's kind of like the cake you might find at, like, Pop Century and the
It's very, very moist.
Yep.
It's always fresh.
Yep.
And the thing of it is, it's at the perfect temperature, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, it's cold, not cold where it's hard, but it's cold not cold.
It's refreshing. It's a refreshing dessert.
Exactly.
Me and her usually split it, and it's usually awesome.
Right.
Because that's what we usually do there when we get the dining plan. We'll split a lobster roll or hummus sandwich and the cake, and we're good to go. And then we'll use another counter service later in the day.
Yeah, no, that's a smart way to do it. I can't say that I've gotten the yogurt, and I don't remember the cobbler, so I've probably gotten the chocolate cake each time as well, if I got a dessert. It doesn't come with your meal, so obviously you got to add
ours
it on.
Ours has always been with the dining plan.
Right. Oh, right. That makes sense. I know I have. I don't think we mentioned this specifically, but I know I've gotten a side of coleslaw before, and the coleslaw is very good there as well.
And the other thing I've heard, too, is pretty good, the lemonade slush.
Yeah, I haven't tried one of those.
So I heard that's pretty good. And then they have bottled water, chocolate milk. They have coffee, regular and decaf. Low-fat milk, orange juice, hot tea, lemonade slush, and iced tea lemonade slush, which are both very good. So
yeah, they got a varied drink menu, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you can get your Coke and Pepsi and or whatever they're serving at the time, whoever's paying the bill. Usually Coke at Disney World.
Right, yeah, almost exclusively.
But we would say that me and Dennis would both give this restaurant. I said a 9.5 out of 10. What about you, Dennis?
Yeah, I would give it a solid 9. Anyways, I mean, just to leave him room for improvement. But I mean, I couldn't give it lower marks than that because, like we said, it's a great place to go, and you definitely you'll find something you like there. No doubt about it.
The whole atmosphere is just right up my road. If you follow me, I love that restaurant.
Come and get it.
So, guys, enjoy the Columbia Harbor House. Me and Dennis is going to sign off. We went long as usual, but that's how we roll, guys. So that'll be it for Podcast 131. You got anything else you want to say, Dennis?
No, that's pretty much it. Enjoy doing this, and we'll do another one next month. If anybody out there has a suggestion on what they'd like to see us review, drop us an email or a tweet or Facebook post, and we'll see if we can review that restaurant for you.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Also, if you could, guys, please, we're asking for that Christmas present again. Go over to iTunes and review us at WDW Main Street. We'd really appreciate it. That's going to be it for this show, Dan. I will talk to you real soon, buddy. You have a good night.
You too. Later.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.